from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
In fact, the fullback in front of him, give it to James, and he will stroll to the right side in the touchdown.
I formation, old school, run the ball. How about that? Up under center.
Look at that. Jerry and Jorgie on the call, as heard right here on The Fan on Saturday. Jordan James makes it 14-0. Ducks scoring out of the I formation. That was new. Probably something we haven't seen from the University of Oregon since, I don't know, 1998.
We talked about it. The return of the I formation to football. It's coming back, baby.
Yep. And we saw a little bit of it. There were bright spots, but I think what is plaguing a lot of Oregon fans and a lot of the questions around the rest of the world of college football is the University of Idaho keeping that game close and within striking distance, especially late in the game. What a confusing game it was to watch and really be a part of is being on the sidelines for that game. You were sitting there going, all right, when is the dam going to break? When are they going to keep leaning and keep leaning on Idaho? And you got to give Idaho, first of all, a ton of credit for not flinching, not backing down, just playing their asses off the entire game. I mean, for 60 minutes, they didn't flinch one time. But you also go, the University of Oregon, from a talent standpoint, from a historical standpoint, from the preseason expectations, from the internal expectations and the external expectations of the program, 24-14 left a lot of people with a bitter taste in their mouth following that game. But, I mean, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it.
As I was watching that game, a couple things stood out. One, Dylan Gabriel is kind of a reincarnation of Bo Nix in the sense of timing, accuracy, ball placement.
Yep.
Just tick, 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 ball out quick, ball out quick, ball out quick. But and I know you can speak to this even more. The offensive line was a problem for the Ducks. Defensively, they look great. The playmaking was all over the place, particularly from Mateo. But looking at that team, even in a win, that's probably the most disappointing win of the week in college football.
Yeah, and you go down, and if you were just to look at a stat sheet, Oregon gets 21 more first downs. They go 7 of 16 on third down. Idaho, you hold them to 2 of 12. You more than double them up in total yards, 487 to 217. You hold them to 168 yards passing to your 380. You win the turnover battle. You double them up in rushing yards. And you win the time of possession by nearly 20 minutes of time of possession. Mm-hmm. You sit there and you go, yeah, Oregon probably ran away with that game. And that just wasn't the case because of the self-inflicted wounds, right? It was you would put a drive together, right? And you get two illegal formations on your right tackle, who's a preseason All-American, and Johnny Cornelius, because his head is not breaking the plane of the guard's hip, right? Which is what officials look for. He is too far back. Twice. You have a fumble where, you know, Dan Lanning during halftime or the post-game interview, he told me, you know, we had a protection issue where, you know, the running back blocks the defensive end into your quarterback, causing the sack fumble. A lot of folks said that's on Ajani Cornelius. Again, we don't know what the protections, the slides and all that, but initially that was the diagnosis from the head coach during the during the halftime, I think it was during the halftime interview, he said that there were miscues abound. And look, there is an element of, I think that from the outside, we may have undervalued the importance of losing the Remington Award-winning center in Jackson Powers Johnson and a first-round pick that will start week one in the NFL in Bo Nix on what they do pre-snap.
Sure.
And getting you to that point of they have seen everything, they know everything, the checks pre-snap and getting you into that right spot. But again, there's also plenty of room and time to grow, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the stuff to grow with. One, obviously, the offensive line, the changeover, the injuries, it's a real thing. Eight penalties is a real thing.
The penalties, it wasn't just the penalties, it was when they happened.
Yeah, drive-killing monsters. And the other one is inability, and it kind of goes with the penalties, to keep things going on third downs. They racked up third down, 16 third downs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crap ton.
Yeah, well, you convert half of them.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but getting to third down that many times is interesting. You don't typically see a number that high.
Well, and that was in part to Idaho's game plan, right? Everybody was saying, why aren't you taking more shots? Why aren't you taking more shots? And initially after the game, I was going, well, look at what they did. They brought pressure. They capped the defense in the back end with two safeties deep. They played off and they rallied to the ball. I have never seen an FCS team tackle as well as Idaho did, because it wasn't just like the first guy bringing somebody down. It was you would break a tackle and somebody else was right there. Their pursuit and their tackling, exceptional. Exceptional. And that led to some of those short throws that Dylan Gabriel took what the defense was giving him. And you said it, like that reincarnation of Bo Nix, right? Everybody's saying Bo Nix was a check down Charlie. Bo Nix is a check down Charlie. That's how the offense is built, right?
Mm-hmm. Get guys into space and make plays.
You get the ball out quickly. Make it. It's incumbent on the guys on the outside. Make somebody miss. Have an explosive. But when they did make a guy miss, somebody was right there. Credit to Idaho on that. And also, why aren't you taking more shots? Dan Lanning talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, I'd say none of it was really him not making the right read. I think they, you know, we took a shot early in the game down the field, and then they stopped playing that coverage that gave us the opportunity to take that shot. We called a lot of shot plays, and they played over the top, you know. So I think Dylan made the smart decision with where he took the ball, where he got to the ball. And, you know, you don't go, 41 to 50 passing if that's not the case. So he did a really good job of making decisions on where he could actually go with the ball, given the opportunity. They just eliminated some of those opportunities to take those shots. You know, I think more of your explosives are going to come whenever you do catch the ball in space. Who's going to break a tackle? Who's going to go cover up on the block downfield? And those are the things that we got to do a better job taking care of. And then being able to run the ball more effectively.
And that was a big one. And I think that goes to looking at the offensive line and the offensive line play. This is kind of where Oregon has built their identity, is in the trenches on the offensive side of the football. And there were, you look at the, and this is not an excuse to not being able to run the football against Idaho, right? But you look at where some of the stalling out happened, and this goes back to how good Jackson Powers Johnson was at getting you in the right spot, making sure everybody's on the same page, and making sure that, you know, you are moving down the field and getting a good push. Is, I think, in an ideal world, Matthew Bedford, who Dan Lanning updated the status on, Gary Bryant Jr., the wide receiver, and Matthew Bedford, the Indiana transfer right guard, both of those guys are trending towards playing against Boise State this week, according to Lanning yesterday. But you look at Bedford would be at right guard. Poncho, who started at center in the Fiesta Bowl, Poncho Laulu, would be at center. Marcus Harper is at left guard, right? Dave Iuli, who's another interior offensive lineman that is down with injury right now and trending in the right direction to a return. Also, a guy that you would anticipate to be in the lineup. And the way that guys got banged up, and again, this is like, you should still be able to run the football against Idaho, right?
Yeah, even if you take out Dylan Gabriel's sack yards, the minus 23,
yeah,
Oregon's still under 4 yards a carry against Idaho.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Yeah. And look, a lot of it, too, I mean, how many times did we see what Jaxton Eck, the coach's kid playing linebacker, ankle picking, right? Getting the ankles.
A lot of trip-ups and knockdowns, yeah.
Holy smokes, like... So many of those small ones that you're just like, oh, he's so close to popping that big run. There's one Jordan James has a green grass in front of him, gets tripped up by
the old carpet shark.
The old turf monster comes up and gets him. You had another one where it looked like Jordan James had one guy to beat. He goes to plant and cut, and he cramps up and just crumbles to the ground. You're going, those are the little things where it's like, it was a Murphy's Law game.
Yeah.
If it could go wrong, it did go wrong offensively. And you go, all right, you got to just kind of throw this one aside. It reminded me, and people didn't feel nearly as rattled by it. It felt a lot like the Texas Tech game last year.
Yeah.
But because Oregon goes down to Lubbock. It was 95 degrees.
Tortillas being thrown.
Sweltering hot. And people came out of that game questioning Oregon's offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Are they really that good? You felt better about it because it was a Big 12 opponent that is really damn good at home. And you have a lot of the same questions. You're going, this is an FCS opponent from the Big Sky.
That's the difference. Is Tyler Shough is at Louisville now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you see him?
But, I mean, it was the defense was no concern.
No. Defensively, they look fine.
I mean, a third of Idaho's yards came on two plays.
Yeah.
A trick play and on that screen that they set up where – boy, you just got to make sure eye discipline, play your keys. Those things happen. But that's what an FCS school will do, is they're going to throw the kitchen sink at you, and they did.
The thing about this game isn't necessarily the scoreboard. This, for the first time, was a team that had expectations that were through the roof and was playing like a team that had earned something has not earned anything yet. Dancing on the sidelines to shout in a game you have not put away against the FCS opponent. I'm genuinely surprised Lanning didn't go nuclear in the press conference. Just go full Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
Like, because one of the things that I love about Lanning is that he has kept the cover on everything. And guys haven't gotten too high on their own supply. They aren't sniffing their own farts. That they go out there every day, every game, and you're getting their best effort. That was not Oregon's best effort. Not even close.
It wasn't. It wasn't. Yet 487 yards of total offense. It was repeatedly the shoot yourself in the foot moments, right? Yep. And that
you do that against a better opponent, though, you're screwed.
You are.
That effort against Boise State's offense, you're giving up points.
I think if you're a fan.
Well, I don't know if you're giving up as many. Again, the defense wasn't the problem. You're not scoring any, though.
No.
Well, actually, against Boise,
Boise State's defense,
they gave up 45 to Georgia Southern.
But again, I think if you're a fan,
you're losing.
You need to watch the offensive line, specifically the right guard and right tackle, and especially if they get Bedford back. But where they were getting eaten alive was on twists and stunts. They weren't handling it well. And a large part of that does come from your center not communicating where everyone needs to be moving.
Chemistry and continuity up front.
But it's also them not taking care of their job.
Yep.
And so for the next 2 to 3 weeks, that's all those two are going to see, even if Bedford does come back and he's playing that right guard spot. So if you're a fan and you want to figure out if this offense is going to get back on track and look like it did last year, or if this is going to be a continuing problem that you're going to have to deal with the whole year, the next 2 weeks, those are the two guys that I would watch and see how they handle twists and stunts and defensive movement.
Dan Lanning isn't a bus driver, but he touched on his offensive line play in his media availability yesterday.
Yeah, we didn't play well enough, and there were some, miscommunications that we had to clean up, but certainly room for improvement. But they know that they didn't play to the standard that we want, and we can be better there.
A lot of that ire is coming on to, and I think unfairly so. We just talked about Bedford and Iuli, where they are going to be at. Charlie Pickard, and a lot of people questioning that entire right side of the offensive line that went from the center, Charlie Pickard, to Poncho Laulu, and then Ajani Cornelius. Dan Lanning talked about and addressed that right side of the O-line.
His communication was pretty good, but just like everybody on our team, some good, some bad, some things to improve. Once we have more people available. I think there is always opportunities to look and see what that lineup looks like. I think there's, regardless of if Matt's available or not, I think that that's something you always have to try to create at every position, that competition that makes you better and having more guys that can play winning football. So we'll see what it looks like as we move forward. But I think Charlie handled a lot of things really well. Charlie certainly wasn't the guy that didn't play was the guy that didn't play well on the offensive line. I think it was a unit. That's the unit that has to play well together,
yep.
Right? And it takes all five guys being on the same page and executing at a high clip. And he's part of that unit, right? So he has ownership in that. But on the same note, there were multiple guys that didn't play to their standard or our standard on Saturday.
You know, in that is a great point, because as Will was saying, the twists and the stunts and then replacing with the blitzing linebacker, you know, that's why Dylan Gabriel's getting the ball out quickly, right? Mm-hmm. He's getting the ball out because they're bringing just as many as they have to block.
And he's saying,
boom, get it out quick, do my job. Mm-hmm. Tez Johnson, 12 catches. Terrence Ferguson, 7 catches. You know, feeding the tight ends, that tight end room looks really good still. Still think that's an elite unit there. Mm-hmm.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But when you have a center who is going through it, first start, and they are throwing the kitchen sink at him with all of those twists and stunts, and then you have the fact that Oregon went on a hard count, I think, only twice in the game. And they got Idaho to jump both times. Mm-hmm. Namely, the one that people remember is the 4th-and-7. They go on a hard count, and Afalava, and give credit to Afalava, number 52. You had Jakari Larmon, number 5 in the middle, number 1 on the edge, number 96, Zach Kratzer. Those guys, they timed up the snap count. And they were on it, man. And Oregon went on a hard count, I think only twice, got him to jump both times. You probably sit there and you go, hindsight, Will Stein, Dylan Gabriel, and
switching up the count, probably.
And Pickard, his offensive, his center, they're probably going, probably should have switched up the count a little bit more. But I mean, again, that,
I know,
that,
3 sacks and 6 TFLs. That's
where you sit there and you go, how are those guys getting so much pressure? Mm-hmm. They timed up the snap count every single time. Afalava was a monster getting off the ball. And so you go, all right, how do you clean that up? Where do you go from week one to week two? Because everybody in the world now is watching what Idaho did and saying, yeah, we'll throw every stunt and twist that we possibly can at you.
It's interesting. We can talk about this when we talk about LSU, USC. Did you see what LSU was doing to USC on their switches? They got called for it twice.
Yeah, the shifts.
They were yelling and mimicking on top of it. It was there. I noticed there was a couple teams that were doing that this weekend. I was like, and it's an emphasis for officials to kind of snuff it out, but it seemed more egregious. Just like what was going on at the line of scrimmage across college football this week.
Well, that's been a few years in the making, which is why the officials are, and it's, you want to talk about a judgment call. You're going to have a judgment call on whether it was a deliberate and intentional shift of the defensive lineman to get the offensive line to jump.
I mean, LSU's was pretty dramatic.
Good luck. Yeah, theirs was really bad. And Brian Kelly having an aneurysm over it made my heart warm.
I mean, they were doing it on purpose. It was pretty clear.
Well, yeah, every team is doing it on purpose. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah. you can't make it that egregious, though. But it's just interesting that, like, what's going on at the line of scrimmage now in college football and how much I feel like hard counts and changing up your count used to be so often in college football, where a lot of it's just that one beat clap now for everyone.
And boy, Idaho, they timed that thing
up. They pinned their ears back. And when they didn't get there, they got what, three knockdowns?
Maybe.
I know each end got one.
Yeah.
And I think there was a third from a linebacker on a blitz.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I know that, I mean, there weren't a whole lot of them because Dylan Gabriel went 41 of 49.
Yeah. But and, those, and they're if you're both wondering, on third downs.
If you're wondering how short he, if it seemed like he was throwing everything short, 40 of Dylan Gabriel's 49 attempts came 9 yards or under.
Yeah.
40 of 49. And that is, it's not him not taking shots. It's taking what the defense gives you. Those safeties capped the back end. Mm-hmm. They said, we are not getting beat deep. And they didn't. They didn't. Evan, and there were times where if there's a little bit more protection and they're not jumping the snap count and they're not, you know, bringing more than what you can block. There was one where Tez Johnson went in motion from left to right. He wheeled around Evan Stewart. Evan Stewart ran a skinny post and it was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Evan Stewart was wide open on a switch concept and Dylan Gabriel said, nope. Gonna go short, to go short. So it wasn't a case of DB or receivers not getting separation against DBs either.
No.
That was there.
Just the ball just had to come out.
It just had to come out and you take what they give you, and Idaho dared Oregon to drive 80 yards and make no mistakes. Mm-hmm. And they won that gamble. They won that gamble, and that's where Oregon needs to be better.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Some of your feedback on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.